It's good to welcome everybody to our worship service tonight. Good to see all of our visitors here. I think that we might just baptize all these seven people again next week, so you'll come back again. And I want to tell you how good it is. Hello, Rick. I want to tell you how good it is to see everybody. And, you know, you that are visiting, if you think you would like to find a good church, it's here. Best in the world. That's what somebody told me the other day. And, of course, they're prejudiced, you know. But I'm the preacher, if you don't know who I am. I've been here for going on 21 years, and they've not run me off yet. So, I love everybody, and they know it. But good to have you. I'll just mention a couple of words about how we're going to do things. I'm going to share just a little bit of devotion. I'll share about three passages of Scripture real quick. It's going to be about the subject of baptism. Then we're going to have the baptizing. And then we're going to dismiss our services. We believe, and then we're going to have the Lord's Supper afterwards. We believe that the Lord's Supper is for members of the church, and we always invite everybody that is here that don't want to take part in that to stay and watch. And we believe you'd be blessed like crazy if you did. So, and we're going to be doing that altogether different during this time when we're trying to be as safe as we can, and so it's going to be interesting. To see how that works out, but let's see. I may need to. Oh, I want to make this announcement: the graduates that are going to be getting a Bible next Sunday morning. We missed one, and that's always a possibility. And it's Annabeth Roberts. So, Josh, did I see you somewhere? Yeah. If you could have some of those extra cards next week, and that way they can include Annabeth in that too. And the cards are back there on the table, and what they're for, you can get the little pack of cards, and they have the names of all the graduates, and there's seven or eight of them, I don't remember how many, but you can fill out the little card and give them your best wishes and all stuff and stuff like that. So that's what that's for. So I wanted to mention that right quick. All right. What I'm going to do tonight, I know that all of you that are faithful members of our church, you know all about the subject of baptism. Now, these three passages of Scripture are just going to make three points about that. And the reason I want to do that is because most of the time, those who are candidates for baptism are brand new Christians, and they don't maybe understand a whole lot. I love questions, and boy, I've gotten a flood of them. And everything, and I appreciate that. But I'm going to share three texts. The first one's going to be Matthew chapter 28, and here's what we're going to do. And I'm going to try real hard not to take a lot of time to do this. The first point is going to be what our Lord Jesus Christ commanded the church. The second is going to be what the church requires of those who are being baptized. And I've already talked to some of them about that, because we're to teach them. And You candidates for baptism, you got to keep coming to church, or we can't teach you if you don't do it, you know. And over the last 41 years, I've baptized many a person that disappeared and never seen them again, you know. And there's always something wrong with that. And so the first point is going to be what the Lord commanded. The second is what the church should require. And the third is going to be what it means to you all that are being baptized personally. So the first text is going to be from Matthew chapter 28, and it's what we call the Great Commission. In other words, before Jesus went back to heaven, he commanded his church. And in Matthew chapter 28, in the 16th verse, the first thing we see is, then the 11 disciples, and that was the church. The first church was 11 believers. Jesus had already established his church during his earthly ministry. A lot of people believe that the church wasn't established till the day of Pentecost, but that's not true. It was already established. And so he gathers them together. He's about to go back to glory. And here's what he says in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, here's his words, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now this is the command to the church. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That come from the Savior. That was his command. It has been the same all along, all down through these many years. That is the Great Commission. To make disciples, not make them, Lord makes them, but to preach the gospel to every nation. Another place in the Bible says, and those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are to be baptized. And one of the passages I'll share with you in a minute explains what that's about. Why baptize somebody? Why baptize? And then he says, to teach them whatsoever I've commanded you. And so one of the ministries of the church is a teaching ministry, teaching the Word of God. Not my thoughts or opinion, but what the Bible has to say. So that's the first text. That come from our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you that are being baptized tonight, first of all, you are being obedient to the Savior. And church, we're being obedient to the Savior when we baptize the converts. Now the second one I want to share with you is found in Acts chapter 8. So if you want to turn over a little ways in your Bible to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, and I'll share the second one. And this one is what should be required of a person who has confessed Christ as their Savior, and they follow the Lord in baptism. And in this 8th chapter, I want to read a couple of verses. First of all, verse 5 and verse 6, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Philip was a preaching deacon. That's who Philip was in the book of Acts. Went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And notice what it says in verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Now remember, he's preaching Christ. Anytime someone is preaching Christ, you can give heed to what they say. If they are preaching themselves, then just forget that, or preaching something that's not true. And then this story says, notice this in verse 9. Now these are all these believers that come and believe what Philip was preaching. It says in verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out himself to was some great one. He was a demon-possessed man. That's what it was. And he was fooling people. In other words, he was teaching them something that was not true and bewitching them. Y'all might remember that not long ago in preaching from the book of Galatians, I shared with you that word bewitch. It is bad spiritual activity. There's a lot of it in the world. As a matter of fact, the world's full of demon-possessed people. I often say that about all of Washington is full of them, you know, and just joking around. But not joking around, it's true. But anyway, he was teaching them falsely. In verse 10, to whom they all gave heed from the least of to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. The great power of God. Now, I know some preachers, they are all on TV, of course, that they've got great audiences and they set themselves up that way. And if you know the Bible and listen to them a little bit, you come to conclude that they're not. And verse 11, and to him they had regard because he a long time had bewitched them with sorcery. And then verse 12 says, but. Now when you find that word at the first of any verse in the Bible, you know what's fixing to happen. But here's the opposite. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. In other words, they believed the right thing. They believe what, and you know, here's the thing about new converts. There's a whole lot that they don't know about what the Bible teaches. But they do, what the one thing that is necessary is they have to believe what God has revealed to them. They have to believe that with all their heart. And of course, when I talk to people, I say that to them. You have to believe that. You have to believe what the Bible teaches about that. A person who would reject the Word of God, I wouldn't baptize them. Now, that's just all there is to it. If no matter how bad they wanted to, I wouldn't baptize them. And so the church requires that people believe the Word of God, not a certain doctrinal position or whatever, unless it's scriptural, but believe the Word of God and be interested in the Word of God, motivated by the teaching of the Word. And so that's what's required. Then the personal thing, if you'll look with me in Romans chapter 6. Now, you that are being baptized tonight, this is what this ought to mean to you. You that are being baptized in Romans chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 3, and I'm going to read a few verses alone. And here's what it says. Paul says, know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into or unto Jesus Christ were baptized into or unto his death. Now, I was baptized 53 years ago. I didn't understand it at that time. I thought I knowed it all, to tell you the truth, but I found out right quick. I told somebody the other day, I said, the older I get, the dumber I am, you know, because you learn how little you know. But I didn't understand that baptism pictures that very thing. In other words, when a person is going to be baptized, they are associating themselves with the death of Jesus Christ. You see, that's the only way a person is saved. Jesus must have taken upon himself the penalty of your sin and paid that price and paid it in full. That's, nobody's forgiven other than that. There is no forgiveness of sin. A person who does not receive Christ as their Savior, they can cry out, Lord, forgive my sin, if they're not sincere about it, if they're not associated with Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's where it starts. And so it says, baptized into his death. Now listen to this in verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Okay, first of all, these folks that are going to be baptized tonight, when I call it picture preaching. It's their profession of faith. They're going to step into the water, and I've already told them tonight, I'll ask them a couple questions, but they don't have to say nothing. But they ought to be able to nod their head. And you'll hear me say that to them. And so, buried, okay, we associate with his death, and then I'm going to bury them. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to take them down under the water. All of them one time but Wesley. And look, Wesley, if it bothers you, me picking on you, tell me. Please, I won't do it no more. But his family members have already said, no, dunk him twice, dunk him three times. But anyway. But it's buried, you see, buried with him. Now listen to this. Buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so when I pick them back up out of the water, they raising up out of death, you see, raising them up. Now, this is what the Bible says. And it says, and even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know, I'll ask them the question. I've already told them I was going to. This means that you're committing yourself to follow the Lord the best of your ability. Are they going to be perfect? No. Are they going to never make a mistake? No. But I tell you what happens when people who are really saved make a mistake. They're convicted because the Holy Spirit lives within them. And you know what? They'll say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to overcome this or help me to overcome that. I've told our folks I've known the Lord for 53 years. And I still say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, forgive me. And we just keep on trying. And what the motivation is that when someone is saved, the Holy Spirit lives in them and dwells in them and convicts them of their sin, you see. And so to rise and walk in newness of life. And I'll ask them when I baptize them, do you understand that this baptism pictures your commitment to live for the Lord? Live for the Lord. And I told them that I've baptized a lot of people over the years. I baptize them, they disappear, and I'll never see them again. You know, something's wrong with that. Something was wrong. You know, a person can make a profession of faith and not be saved. It might not be genuine. It may not be real. They may come to the Lord conditionally. Lord, I'll go through this process. And a lot of people in the world, all they have is a good dose of religion. And boy, you can lose your religion. You know, people say that all the time. I lost my religion. Well, you can lose your religion. But I'll tell you what, when the relationship with Jesus Christ is what it always is supposed to be, He lives in you. The song says that He lives in you. So to walk in newness of life. Then verse 5 says this, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Now here's what that means. If I die before the Lord comes back, and I may do it, I'm getting awful close to that, you know. I don't dye my hair gray. It just got that way, you know. I've been rode hard and put up with. But anyway, but if I die before the Lord comes back again, Sue will take me out here somewhere and bury me in the ground. I got to tell you a funny thing. We fixed a little cemetery on the place where I was born and raised for me and my brothers and the family, a little family plot and everything. And we was checking it out to make sure that you can go down 6 foot without hitting rock. You know, Estill County's got slate rock places where you go about 18 inches down and that's the end of it. Brenton, I'm chasing a rabbit here, buddy. Anyway, we took a post hole digger and a tractor and we went out there and we went all around this place. We was sinking that thing down to the bottom, sinking it down just to make sure. And my brother told me that if I passed away before he did, that what he was going to do is go out there and just dig a hole and stand me up in it, you know. That's what he told me. So you all make sure he don't do me that way. But anyway, they'll bury me, and guess what? One day the trump will sound, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord's going to come back. And you know what? I'm coming up out of that ground. I'm coming up out of there. And so everyone who knows Him arise first before anybody's taken up is what the Bible said. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so we look forward to that resurrection. So all of you that's been baptized, I want you to think about something when I'm raising you back up out of the water. Everybody except Wesley. When I'm raising you back up out of the water, you think about this. This pictures one day that I'm going to raise from the dead and I'm going to go be with Jesus forever and forever and forever and forever. I got to tell you all something. There's not a greater thought that anybody could ever have to live their life in that assurance. I'll tell you a little story right quick. Sue was communicating with somebody on Facebook, and because of this pandemic stuff, you know, they said, and they was supposed to be a Christian now. They claim to be a Christian. They'll tell you every time you turn around they're a Christian. But anyway, this person said, I'm going to go in the house and I'm going to lock a door and I'm not coming out. And I said, Sue, send her a message, tell her I said it. If you ever get to the place where you're ready to die, you won't have to worry about that kind of thing. Amen? You know, those people who belong to the Lord, you know what? Somebody said it this morning. I don't remember who it was. They said, you know, oh, it was Dan. Brother Dan said this. He said, I'm going to tell you something, preacher. When that time comes, I'm going to go. However I go, the Lord already knows all about it, and I have an appointment with it. I have an appointment. And you know what? God is a God that knows everything. He knew me before Adam ever drew a breath. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome. And so, I'm not saying you oughtn't to be careful. I'm careful, and about this thing. I don't want that virus. I don't want the flu. I don't even want a cold. I don't like none of that stuff. So I'm going to be real careful and not try to infect everybody. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you, you candidates for baptism, I use a handkerchief, and I got 7 of them. So I'm not going to spread your germs to the next person in line. I've got 7 of them. You'll get a fresh handkerchief. We're trying to be real careful tonight. So baptism is a wonderful thing. It is a profession of faith. It is a profession of faith. They're going to be just like actors on a stage. They're going to get in this water. They're not going to say anything. But when you see them put down in the water and raised back up, you remember what the Bible says. They're going to be death, burial, and resurrection. That's the picture of the picture. So let's bow together. Father, we thank you for these verses of Scripture. We thank you that we can understand what this ordinance is all about. And I thank you for these 7 who have professed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, O Lord, that this would be an awesome experience, one they would never, ever forget. And Lord, that everyone that is gathered in this place tonight might be touched in a special way. I just pray that everybody here will never be able to be the same again as a result of being in your presence. That's my prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right. All of you candidates, go to your room, and we're going to get started right away. And so if you're sitting somewhere, we used to try to move this pulpit, but it is full of stuff and wired. And so you can feel free to move. You can get up and go stand somewhere and watch or whatever you want to do. And so we want everybody to be able to see what's going on. And so we'll go from there. All right.